At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
All right, well, we're live. No intro here. This is a special live stream. If you guys haven't seen the announcement on X, I am, for a limited time, just for nostalgia purposes, around the holiday season, something I've been thinking about doing for a while, I am temporarily resurrecting the Daniel 3 podcast, which was my first podcast, and I don't know, maybe it's just like an autism thing, where I was just like, I ended it on 93, I ended it on 93, and I was like, that's just such a weird, dumb number to end it on. And I've also thought about trying to venture out of my biblical anarchy podcast niche and maybe start a second show that's more grab bag. And so this is an experiment to see if you people want that. And so to set this off, this little limited series I'm doing down memory lane to finish the Daniel 3 podcast right, I have with me a good friend of mine and one of the first guests I ever had on. Actually, I think we were one of the first guests on both of our shows, yeah, respectively. Yeah. But Jose Galison of No Way Jose. How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing well. Pleasure to be back on the show. It has been a while. But yeah, I'm pretty sure we like started literally the same exact time. Hell, even your, I think you're using the thumbnail right now too. The one that, was made as like part of the Liberty Movement thing, yep. Which was like the thing I was like part of at the beginning that just kind of fell off. So yeah, it feels like forever ago, but that was like probably 4 years ago now at this point, give or take. But it was around 2020. Yeah.
Well, it is exactly here. I'm going to share my screen here. Where is it? Appearance on No Way Jose. It was exactly, 4 years ago, according to YouTube.
Oh, jeez.
Appearance on No Way Jose. Look at those two little kids.
Yeah, look how jacked and tan I was.
You're trending. We're trending in opposite directions. I think I've slimmed down a little bit and scruffed up a little more.
Yeah, I'm not in shape at all like I was then, but I don't know. I'm getting back in shape now. I'm working on it. I got a little bit fat, a little disgusted myself, but it is wild. It's a long, long road. Started this about 4 years ago, and now I've gotten to the point where it's a sort of profitable side gig. So, hey, here we are.
We are.
I can't complain.
We are C/B level tier libertarian podcasters who make a side living podcasting.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I think I like to put in brass terms. I make like basically a quarter podcasting in a day, do what I would like my real job. So it's like, it is like almost that like borderline, like, should I just quit my job? Like, no, I need to be more like a half, and then I can say, fuck my job.
Yeah, because if you quit, you could scale up, but, like, you need to be able to kind of count on that and project it, and I kind of have, privately for me, too, kind of like a number I'd want to be at, and even then, I'd probably just cut down to part-time and, you know, feel it out for a while before I completely did it, but I'm also just, I'm more risk-adverse, so that's just the way I am.
I mean, when you got family, you can't just be risking it all the time.
Exactly.
Because I keep trying to want to just like sit my wife down and be like, I don't think you understand, like, babe, but if I like stream every single day, I'll just really nail the algo and like we'll be doing like all right in not too long, because they just sound like a crazy person, like some husband trying to convince his wife that like, I'm just telling you, like, no, my garage band is really going to take it off. I'm telling you. But I mean, when you already are seeing the money though, you're like, hey, the money's there. So theoretically, you know, if we just upscale the volume, but you got to make sure things are solid for the family, because that's what matters the most at the end of the day.
So. Yeah. Well, speaking of money and making sure that podcasts are lucrative, I guess even though I'm here on the Daniel 3 podcast, I'm just going to do a little bit of grifting for my LCI side, just to remind people this is our end of the year fundraising push. We're trying. We have a $15,000 matching grant right now to try to really expand what we're doing next year, which not only is about, you know, obviously paying all of us a little more, hopefully, so we can do more. That's the idea. Is like if we have more money, we can pay our creators more, create more content. But it's also about trying to not just on the podcasting side, we have like 3 or 4 books that we're working on publishing, and as well as more events that we're trying to attend so that we can, you know, make the Libertarian Christian Institute more of a household name. So you guys can go to there we go. I do this professionally, guys. LibertarianChristians.com/donate if you are so inclined to be generous with whatever money you have left over at this time of year. So appreciate that if anyone wants to see some, look at those two little baby faced. It's not that long ago, but I forget. I think you're a little bit old. I'm 32. I think you're a little bit older than me, right?
I'm like a year older than you. Nothing substantial. Yeah. We're about the same age, rough give or take. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't know which one he's asking us to tell my hair. My hairstyle technique is just take gel and do whoosh. So I mean,
I also take clippers and like I will like kind of edge around like just kind of like so I'm a little bit more meticulous. Maybe that's why I'm more like pretty. I don't know. I do get people make comments on my hair. I don't do anything too crazy. I just do. I don't even know how to say other than like I comb it and then I'll sometimes like throw my hand through it and be like that looks cool and I'll walk away.
I've actually spent more time. Like I'm trying to grow the hair out a little bit more, but then I'm also for the first time really ever I'm trying to grow the beard out. Which is a bit of a pain. I've finally gotten past the point where it looks just really scraggly, and we're starting to get a little bit of length to it. But hopefully I don't lose subscribers for this, but I am Jewish, so the struggle is trying to get the hair to actually just grow down and not just Jufro all the curls and stuff on the side. So yeah. I have to little trims and get beard oil and stuff. Mm-hmm. But my son's really into Skillet, and so he's just like, he sees their lead singer, John Cooper, his hairstyle and beard style. He's like, Daddy, you should do that. And so I'm trying to live my 9-year-old son's dream for him. So
one day he too will be able to grow a relatively semi-decent beard. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. Maybe one of these days I'll grow up. My shit doesn't connect quite like I'd like it to. It's better than what I was dealing with back then. Yeah, I think I was still active duty at that time, so I probably was literally having to shave every single day. So things have changed a lot since then, in more ways than one, for our shows, our jobs, all sorts of things. The world, we're living in crazy times, that's for sure.
Well, and so like we've both have evolved our, not just our podcasts, but our branding over time. And I'd say for the most part, like, I think we've both, like, what we do, the product we give our listeners has improved. Although I still get a little nostalgic sometimes for the old days when it was like we didn't have anything to lose and we could be, like, just, I don't know, like a little bit more, I don't want to say unhinged or experimental. Like, I used to love your first intro with the dancing waifu and the money printers and all that. Anytime I'd play that at work, is just like, you know, just on my speakers rather than my my AirPod. You just get people looking over like, what the hell is that guy listening to? We had the same guy do our intros. That was what was his name?
Justin Campbell.
Yeah, Justin Campbell.
Justin Campbell, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't find my my original intro, but what I did was just to show people it. Going down nostalgia lane here, I went and found just like the last episode where I played it. That was pretty decent. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of bass.
Solid low. Yeah.
And then it just goes crazy. So, that was, it was a...
Yeah, mine just went, Mine just went straight action right off the bat. Yeah. You had like the lobby stuff. Like that's what that is. That's like the lobby vibe. Like we're waiting.
Yeah.
We're flicking some stuff. Whereas I'm just like, boom, let's go. I still haven't even figured out how to do lobby stuff. Especially now that I'm doing more streams now, I need to figure it out. Kind of, if anyone's seen Timeline Cleanse, how Raven does his, how he has like the nice lobby little setup. I need to get good at producing on that end of things for sure.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of channels out there that do a good job with that. I've just stuck to the, I have a shorter intro now and I just have a custom made timer. I don't use the StreamYard default one anymore. Just so you start the stream with people there and you're not just talking to no one at the very, very beginning. But I don't know, I think towards the end, sometimes I get complaints, just be like, you know, your episodes are like the first 3 minutes are just nothing but just waiting for the episode to start. It's like, well, I don't know, like you get to actually be there at the start rather than showing up 5 minutes late. So I don't know, like
yeah, I don't know. Some people really get into the whole lobby things. I mean, I think maybe it's like a bigger show thing, but people like to talk and like the build up, the anticipation. I don't know. I am the kind of guy who gets annoyed where I'm like, oh cool, see this episode's premiering, and then I go over to it and I'm like, here's this, like, oh no, here's another fucking 90-second rollout that I have to wait for. That is annoying, but I guess people, it must work somehow. I don't know, that seems to be a thing people like, so, I don't know. Not for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I mean, when you watch what other people do, there's always, like, I don't know how your brain works. I'm always looking at what people do and deciding if I want to copy that or integrate it in some partial way into what I do, but it's kind of like, you know, experimenting and wanting to be original and not just like, okay, everyone who does podcasts does this, so that doesn't mean necessarily I have to do it. I guess the other thing is, like, you know what, I feel like I've had you on before and we've talked a little bit about this, but like obviously I'm revamping this just partly out of just kind of like, just hey, this would be fun to do, and it was just literally on a whim, kind of like that. And then also in the back of my mind, it's kind of like, your show is more of a, like, you can kind of cover a wide array of topics, whereas I started out with a niche that, although is, like, if someone really wants to know about libertarianism and Christianity, then, like, it's like, okay, cool. This is, like, a really, like a good signal that, like, hey, I should go check that out. On the other hand, it's like, if I just want to, like, have a casual conversation with, like, you know, you or, like, one of my friends, it's like, all right, like, how do I fit that thematically into what I'm doing? And so I'm kind of thinking about, I don't necessarily want to, like, keep the Daniel 3 going again. I'm just trying to get it back to 100 just so, like, it looks neater in the, because I have, like, the old website still up. People can go back and see all the episodes. Just thought it'd be cool if it actually showed 100 rather than 93. But it's like, mm-hmm. I do want to do, like, more conversations just like this. On the one hand, I don't know if everyone's into that, but on the other hand, like, I feel like it's just a good way for, like, sometimes people to get introduced into, like they might not want to go and jump right into, like, theory, and they might just want to listen to people talk about stuff with a little bit of theory mixed in, which it's kind of more what I used to do until I joined the LCI, which obviously, like, they're an educational outfit, right? Like, mm-hmm. So that's their focus, which makes sense, but I don't know, I guess I want to have the best of both worlds, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel 3 did seem to be more of a variety show, was the vibe that you had. It was obviously had more of a bent towards a libertarian Christian type thing. But the newer stuff, the LC, the Libertarian Christian Institute stuff that you're doing now, obviously it's going to be more religious. So I can see the dilemma you're dealing with. I mean, I did kind of make a point from the beginning to not niche myself too much, because even though, like, my show is very different from when it started, like, very different. I feel like I've kind of gone through three major vibes. Like, when I first started, I had a certain thing I was going for that got scrapped pretty quickly. Then it went to kind of being like a libertarian theory show, but even then I left it open to, like, where I cover other things, and it's over time become a parapolitics show to where I'm not even necessarily, like, really that into theory anymore. Like, I'll cover it occasionally, you know, when it seems relative or relevant, but I've kind of moved past that and gotten to, like, focusing more in on parapolitics. You know, I've covered a lot on like the Dutroux stuff, then Belgium, OKC, like things of that nature. That's kind of where I found myself at these days, but I'm still open to that changing in the future. And that's part of why I like that I stuck with No Way Jose. I mean, maybe it's not the greatest for building an audience because people want like, oh, this is a conspiracy podcast or this is a theory podcast. But it's like, I mean, I don't know. It's just that's, I don't really want to be one or the other. I mean, for now, I'm kind of basically a conspiracy podcast and I'm good with that for now, but I'm not willing to commit to that. My ADD will set in at some point and I'll probably yo-yo back to like theory or some other thing or something. At some point, I'll end up finishing my Democracy of the God That Fails series with Toad, you know. But for now, I just don't really care about theory. I more or less treat it as like an area for exploration. Like even my new morning dump show that I've been doing, like my live stream show that I've been doing, you know, probably like 3 days, 3 to 5 days a week. It's kind of almost like it's just stuff that I saved in my bookmark folder of stuff that I wanted to cover. Like, so it's a lot of it's like articles that I want to read or stuff like that. So it's almost like a research environment. So I'm just kind of going through the news of the day that I'm like, I've kind of hand selected through like, oh, just haven't had time during the day to read about whatever given thing, just bookmarked it for later. And then during the show, we sit down and we go through it together and we learn whatever the given thing of the day is. So I don't know. My show is kind of more or less dictated by wanting to learn stuff. So I've kind of just like intentionally like not niche myself down, but I get the need for some people to niche. I mean, obviously it's worthwhile. Like if you are only doing like say Christian libertarian content, it would be like, well, why would you not brand yourself that way? It really is a balancing act. So I guess it depends on the person,
right?
The entity.
Well, I guess for me, it's partly that like on one hand, I do like theory, but it's like, I can't like for what I listen to, I can't just listen to straight theory all day. Sometimes I just need to listen, and I listen to music too, but like sometimes I just want to listen to people talk. And like, it's just like while I'm working or doing other stuff or like as a, just a, like a, you know, timeline cleanse, like for my brain. Right. I just want to like, just listen to people who have maybe like a similar worldview to me, talk about random stuff, or even like, I like your morning dump episode because it's just like I get to listen to you just kind of like give commentary on things that like I find mildly interesting, but it's not like it doesn't require me to like pay such close attention to like specific details or theory or anything that like I don't have to like feel that I have to be stressed about like missing stuff or like it's hard to listen to or anything. You know what I mean? Like there's some things you listen to, you can't just casually listen to it. You have to really attentively listen to it because it's just the topic is like that. Whereas long form conversations that are more casual like this, or, you know, just kind of like, you know, political commentary on just like, you know, current events or, you know, conspiracy theory stuff. Now, you know, that's different than like when you're doing your actual deep dives into certain things, which your morning dump actually, by the way, kind of feels like it's become almost like your funnel. It's like it's the wide funnel by which things get sorted in, and then you kind of find like a sorting mechanism for like, ooh, oh, I got to cover this. And then you can, you know, plug that into
exactly.
which is kind of like partly why like Biblical Anarchy is like a good podcast for like doing my deep dives into specific topics, but it's not a great funnel or sorting mechanism is I think the issue I've run into it. Like I love the Biblical Anarchy podcast. I mean, I have mugs and shot glasses, whiskey glasses made with it. I'm really proud of the product I made. Like the Daniel 3 podcast was like me exploring things, learning things, kind of like integrating and synthesizing my ideas. And like once I did that and kind of like, hey, I now like I feel like I've put things together and I really want to like articulate these things for people. That happened around the same time I ran into LCI, and it was like a, you know, perfect, you know, it was a perfect match. But it does feel like it's basically just a solo podcast now. Like I just riff for 30 to 60 minutes on either scripture or libertarian theory or both and kind of like just explore the parallels, explore, you know, or I'll be like, I mean, I spent the last year just beating dispensationalism into the ground, and I still have more.
I think there's something that's been, I really feel like I've gotten a lot out of having recently having a, like a kind of a solo show. And so I think there is something to that. And I think you probably recognize that as well, because I started off with far more of an interview show in my shows. Even now, my content's still far more interview, oriented. I very rarely ever do like solo episodes on a show, but on my Morning Dump show, I will work through these ideas. So like on a solo level, and I feel like we get a lot out of that by putting in the reps, putting in the time. That was something I kind of took away from Raven, because he's been doing those timeline cleanses for a while, and he's put it that way too. It's like putting that time in the gym. So just working that muscle of being able to just talk on your own is a kind of a hard skill, because it's a, I mean, there are people who are really, but there aren't really great interviewers, but are good at doing like solo stuff, and then there's the vice versa. They're different things. But at least for me, I've always found doing the solo things to be harder. But maybe other people will feel differently. But I just, point being is that I do think it's something worth working on. Because I feel like for me, it was always pretty easy to kind of like find a topic I want to talk about, try to find a guest, and have a discussion. Whereas like trying to do that on my own is a whole other thing. Like, because I'm able to like kind of find someone who knows the subject, as opposed to trying to find subjects that I can cover myself, or trying to find a way to cover it in a entertaining or intelligible way is a hard skill to develop, really. So I don't know.
Yeah, I had to work at it. I think probably like the first 20 episodes of the Biblical Anarchy podcast, when it was mostly solo stuff, was a little like, I go back and listen to them and they're a little too scripted, and I kind of had to find the sweet spot where like I had researched what I was going to talk about and I had like an outline, but I could kind of just riff more extemporaneously rather than just like reading it line for line, word for word. Although it just depends on the topic, because sometimes it's just stuff is so mechanical that like it's kind of like you do need to sort of like to be succinct about it and clear about it. You do want to maybe read something you wrote out before to kind of make sure you get your point across. So it does depend. There's pros and cons to both, I guess. Like on one hand, like these episodes are easy. Like we just kind of like, I was like, hey, I want to do this. Made a post, tagged you. You said like, hey, what, you're down. And so it's like, you know, the prep work I did for this was making the graphics, the artwork, you know, creating the stream, and then looking up my those two episodes just to kind of like present as a fun, cool thing. And that's it. So you don't have to, and that's nice. Like just as much as I think conversations like this are easier to listen to and sometimes more enjoyable, they're easier to produce. And I kind of like the freestyle form more. Like I can do interviews, but you definitely, like I don't ever want to be just an interview show, which I think, because for one, like we have so many libertarian interview shows, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, I don't just want to be another libertarian interview show among the libertarian podcast circuit. Like, I'll interview people once in a while if it's like someone wrote a, like, obviously, like, I'll have Scott on when he writes a new book or something. But that's kind of different, right? It's not like I'm just, like, bringing people on to, just, that's not my main stick. I enjoy the theory stuff, but other than that, I enjoy just, like, I don't know, like, I've always liked listening to, like the Joe Rogan podcast. Even when I'm listening to Joe talk with someone who doesn't share my worldview, it's just like, I don't know, just interesting to hear people talk about things, and it's not scripted. It just kind of organically flows and it can go wherever you want it to go. So, on the other hand, I'm not Joe Rogan, so it's like, I can't just like, I don't know, like devote 2 to 3 hours just talking to random people if like no one's going to listen to that because they don't like it. So I guess this is kind of an experiment to be like, I don't know, do people enjoy this at all if I do it? Like, does the audience that likes my other stuff, will they also carry over and like this? I don't know. If you're looking at
the Rogan format, I mean, not a whole lot of people really do that. And honestly, it is nice. It has its moments, and obviously it's like the number one format out there, but I don't know. I mean, I don't personally, aside from that, like it's working for me. I don't really care for it, to be honest. Like the very rarely I mean, a Rogan, it works. Something about Rogan makes it work. But the idea of taking all different guests of all different stripes and just sitting down having like a 3-hour discussion with each individual one, just kind of that meanders all over the place, not really necessarily for me, aside from in the context of it, like a Rogan, because he does make a lot of them interesting. And even then, like, you can pick your guests. But for the most part, it is kind of like, I don't think that's the format for most podcasters. Because for one, that's an insane amount of time. It's like, I don't know. There's a lot of things restricting it. But, I mean, I guess Rogan just has a knack for bringing the best out of people. But I don't even know what I'm, like, going on about. I'm just the idea of doing that format. I mean, trying to find what works for a podcast is kind of hard. I think you do kind of want to find something that's, like, kind of authentic for you. And, like, I don't know, for me, like, I just don't, it wouldn't be authentic if I had a show where I was, like, I sat down with someone for 3 hours and we had a long, because it's just, like, that's just not how I operate in real life.
No, I think, like, I think Rogan's a unique person who can go for that long. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because, yeah, I mean, usually you get an hour into something and you're kind of hour and a half. Like, unless it's a specific topic that required a lot of length. I think Rogan's just like, he's into so many different things, and he's a good, like, natural conversationalist and interviewer that he can make most people interesting for a long time. Although, you know, sometimes, like, he, I don't know if you ever watched when he had Matt Walsh on, that was like one of the worst Joe Rogan experiences ever. It was like, they talked about like, what is a woman, for like 30 minutes. And then Rogan was like, you know, doing his normal thing, trying to bring up different stuff and get Matt to talk about it, and then it was just kind of like, oh wait, no, this guy has like no personality or interesting qualities beyond this like documentary he made. And it was like, I think it ended up being like an hour and 15 minute or like hour and 30 minute episode, which for like Joe Rogan is like, it might as well have been like a 30 minute episode. Like, that's just, they're not usually that short. So yeah, I guess it's partly short. Like,
yeah,
it's partly interview, it's partly your style, it's also partly who you book, right? You gotta make sure you book interesting people that, you know, can have, you know, interesting things to say for at least an hour or 2 hours or something like that. And I suppose it's also like, I don't know, I guess everyone has different interests, right? Like, if so, I mean, it's, and I won't say I enjoy every episode of the Joe Rogan podcast. There's plenty I listen to that, like, I couldn't even tell you what they talked about. Sometimes it's just nice to hear people bantering, in the background about random things. But that's just what I enjoy. Sometimes what do you listen to? I guess I'd be curious I don't know what you listen. I mean, I know we both listen to Part of the Problem to some extent, but outside of that, I don't know what you, if you have like a regular listening thing, or if you listened, I know. Once I started producing podcasts, I started listening to them less just because of time, and also just kind of like, I don't know, like something meant, I can't even put words to it, just something sort of like mentally changed in like my brain when I started making my own. Just like, I didn't have as much interest in listening to podcasts that were like specifically like political or libertarian ones unless I like wanted to for that specific episode or topic.
Yeah, it definitely has changed a lot since I started producing my own content. I definitely have, like, I used to have more, I feel like, that were in the rotation. Now it is just, like, it's pretty faithfully, I listen to Part of the Problem, pretty much. That's pretty much, like, so far as political analysis, that's probably the only show I really watch. I guess you could say Clint, so Liberty Lockdown, I do that, I should catch that as well. Tinfoil Hat from Sam Tripoli. I watch like most of them. So and actually not even most of them. Really, it's completely just depends on what the topic is. Because I mean, sometimes it is just get a little too woo woo for me, and I'm just not even interested in the topic. And he does have a lot of good parapolitical type stuff on there. William Ramsey, I listen to a lot. He's a lot of really good stuff, and he's done a ton of interviews. Really, I just have like a bunch of different people that I follow that occasionally will drop episodes. I'm like, oh, that's something I want to go in, little rabbit hole I want to go down. But for the most part, yeah, it's really just kind of the only ones I follow religiously is Clint and Dave, and the rest just kind of like, you know, just whatever it catches my ear. I also do when I'm caught up completely on podcasts. I do a lot of audiobooks, so I've been reading a book. I forget the book, the audio book. I've been doing, it's one on Alan Dulles' time in the CIA and all that intrigue that goes along with him. So I don't know. I mean, it is really just kind of all over the place. And a lot of times it depends on whatever weird little rabbit hole I'm going down that time. It might be I'm finding some weird niche podcast that I'm listening to some other thing, or I'm finding some YouTube video or whatever. I mean, the type of work I have, I work with my hands, so a lot of times I'm able to listen to podcasts and stuff like while I'm doing it. So it is like, I mean, a lot of podcasts, a lot of audiobooks. So I am doing that stuff a lot. I mean, obviously I'm reading as well, so I'm still reading OKC books when I have time to read. And I don't really ever do music. So I don't know, that's just kind of where I am podcast-wise. Really just Dave is the only thing I really listen to keep up with the going-ons of the politics world. But I'm very much like got my ear to the ground on a lot of like parapolitics and just kind of all over the place when it comes to that.
Yeah. Do you ever get burnt out from any of it from time to time and have to like, you know, reset?
Yeah, every once in a while I'll have like a week or so where I just like do nothing but listen to music or something, and you know, just kind of like I'll get burnt out to where like I'll just been doing nothing but being just completely straight laced and just like serious content. And then I'll just go a week where I just like will listen to music and get stoned quite a bit, you know, because I'm just like, I got to let my brain chill out.
Like, I was about to ask you as someone who's not really, because like for me as a religious person, like when I get to like periods of like kind of burnout, frustration, whatnot, like I spend time in prayer. I spend time. I've considered starting to do like religious fasts and stuff. And I was going to be like, do you have anything like, I don't know, like, cause like, I know like he's a bad example because of how cringy he is, but, and like Sam Harris is an atheist and believes in meditation and stuff like that. So it's going to be like, do you do anything? But I guess, substances part of that, equation for you, I guess, like, is that partly how you like, cleanse the mental palate, so to speak?
I don't know. Not overtly. I don't really have anything particularly. I guess I just try to have a good grip on things. I mean, as I've gone older, most of my vices have actually sort of slipped away as I've gone older. I don't know. Maybe it's just the autist in me that I'll see like something like a vaping or drinking or, you know, smoking or dipping. And it just kind of seems like a wasteful behavior. Like I overanalyze it to where I'm like, why am I doing this? And those are usually, I feel like a lot of those vices sometimes are the things you do lean on for stuff like that to kind of deal with it. So I don't know. Sometimes I'm just left with weird anxious energy when I have, and I just kind of have to let that just shove that down deep until it goes away. But, I don't know. I mean, not really. I just kind of, you know, go lift heavy weight till sad sound and head go away type deal. I don't know. I don't really ever think about my feelings, really. So, I mean, to be completely frank, I don't know. I definitely do get, like, especially with a lot of stuff that I cover, to where, like, this stuff is just so dark. And you just have to take a minute sometimes. Sometimes it's like I'll just go to where I'm, like, going to flick on the podcast about, you know, whatever given satanic, child trafficking, you know, group or whatever. And I'll be like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to a podcast on the lore of Optimus Prime or something. like, I don't know. I think I need a little bit of a break. Yeah, like, who are the gods of let's find out about Unicron. Like, you know, stuff like that.
I was going to ask if there's anything you nerd out on, because I do that occasionally, too. Like, it's not part of my daily listening routine, but sometimes when I just need to, like, just do something fun, and obviously I'm very religious, but that doesn't mean I all my spare time has to be that. Like, I obviously think we can.
Do you find yourself getting sucked into
and stuff?
Do you find yourself getting sucked into random lore of different video games, fantasy worlds,
yes,
whatever?
Yes.
Because like, well, I'll just I think that's actually truly how my body copes. But the weird, or how my head copes. But the weird thing is, it's like, it's not even like my brain's taking a break. It's just that I'm doing the same exact type of analytical thinking. But then just now applying
exactly
it to made up situations, because I'm like, now I'm like learning like about all the different races and Halo and how they interact and the history of this world and that world. But it's like, I guess maybe because you're like, there's no stakes because it's made up. You can have more fun with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But either way, I'm still doing, I'm still, it's weird that like, that's where my mind will every now and then go to escape and I'll just get sucked into like, I don't know, what's the history of He-Man in that universe? Like, or whatever the given thing is. And I'll just, I'll find a YouTube video and just be like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't know their deity was like this or how this is how their, you know, imaginary world is constructed. that's how my brain operates. I guess that's probably the real answer of how I take breaks from dark stuff is my mind will just kind of naturally, without me even meaning to, just send me down some other more whimsical rabbit hole that doesn't have actual real dark stakes. So, yeah.
Oops, I meant to hit mute and hit the stop can. Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's exactly what I do is like, it's just like, it's you're still doing like theory and analytics, but it's just like, it, what's funny is that sometimes it's like the reverse. Sometimes when I'm doing theory and analytics or real world, I'll be like, man, this would almost be fun if it wasn't real, right? Like sometimes you're kind of like, when you're like looking at how big the conspiracy is of real world stuff, you're just like, man, I could almost get like nerdy excited about this if it wasn't like, oh, like, yeah, you know, these are like, you know, the implications are there's actually hundreds of thousands of people dead or dying or being subjugated or et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I think it's a good outlet sometimes to kind of go deep into the lore. Like I think
it is hard.
Everything. I've done like on Star Wars. I've done it on books I've read and stuff. Like I had like a long listening to like the lore of like the Hunger Games books. Because it has like some crossover, right? like political dystopian stuff of like, you know, sort of like a post democratic society and whatnot. So,
there is like a sick thing too as well. I think there's something to the idea of how you were kind of getting at how like sometimes these can almost be fun in the same idea to where, and to some extent, I guess that's like probably sort of a good thing if you can make it fun. You learning about the different things, this is how you can dig deeper. But it is like you do have to sometimes remind yourself, you're like, oh crap, this is real. There are real stakes. Like, I don't know, like the example I gave up earlier of like, and I've been reading like, you know, deeply on my morning streams about these, about like the Dutroux affair or whatever. Like learning about that, like I was like a child trafficking ring that has connections to Gladio, and then there seems to be satanic ritual abuse connections and all sorts of craziness, and you're like, holy crap. And it's just so cool, like the intrigue of it, and like, you're like, that's wild, like no way, like, and you're like, well, look at this document, look at that document, and you're like, oh god, this is connected to this stay behind unit that clearly was, you know, perpetrating false flags to make it look like communists were doing stuff when they weren't, and you're like, and then you have to remind yourself like, oh wait, there's like literally like there's like in these dossiers that I'm reading, these are victims that are like recalling their specific like things that happened to them, and like they're incredibly heinous, and these are things that likely, it's, you know, I mean, unless it's completely all made up by the feds to give us a, you know, pretend little game, it's like this happened to real people. And I don't know, there is something to that. I think you have to have a healthy awareness of it so you don't get caught up in it and get like kind of, I don't know, because like, there's almost like a, not that you're like exploiting it, but like you just get caught up in it, like you're like having fun with it, and you're like, yeah, there's real people here, like, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, on the one hand, you don't want to like drink so deeply of the true like scale of the horror of the stuff we cover sometimes to just like, you know, you to make yourself just totally depressed, but on the other hand, like, you don't want to completely like turn it off, and you kind of need that. Like, I don't know. I struggle with finding that balance of like, all right, I want to analyze things and be objective and not emotionally biased. But then I'm like, I don't know, like, we have emotions for a reason. Like, so if I'm getting pissed off when I'm reading about what's happening in Gaza, or if I'm getting pissed off when I'm, you know, reading about that stuff that's happening in, you know, Russia and Ukraine, like I'm reading through Scott's new book, Provoked. It's just like, I don't know, like, as long as it's not all emotion that's driving me, like, you know, if your emotions are just driving you to care more about the truth, then I think that's a good thing. there's also probably something on like the whole lore thing. Like there's probably a psychological correlation there for like, cause you know, like some people will like read fiction, whether it's books, movies, video games, and like turn their brain off, and they don't get animated by like, oh, this broke the lore, or this is inconsistent with this, this fictional world or universe or whatnot, or this character. They're just like, I don't care. I just want to be entertained and just turn my brain off and watch this. And there's probably something useful about those who like care about consistency in fictional worlds, that like, it means that like they have the tool set to look for consistency. And if they don't see consistency in those fictional worlds, they call it out. And that same skill set probably comes to bear for like people like you and me when we're analyzing real world events. We'll be like, hold on, like the narrative that's being sold here actually doesn't match with like the facts on the ground, or like their narratives are clashing and don't make sense. And so that kind of like raises the, it's like seeing the code in the Matrix, right? You're like, okay, well, that's a glitch, so I know I need to go look at this. It's like that meme where it's just like, I don't even see the code anymore. I just see, you know, false flag, psyop, propaganda, stuff like that from the Matrix movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's probably something.
Which is kind of the same idea when you get really sucked into the lore of something, where you can start almost being able to read the language of, you're like, oh, well, I bet this thing happened that way, and I bet you these characters interact with these characters this way, and I can surmise about the ancient history of this race because I already have this context information. And these are all things you do pick up with getting more in touch with this world. I totally had a point, but I forgot. By the way, I just realized I have god-awful signal, don't I? I'm seeing it on my side. It looks really grainy. I hope I'm not coming over bad audio-wise. Usually I move the router closer, but I was lazy, and I was like, I think I'll be fine and not move it this time. So apologies there. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can hear you fine, but it's a little rough. There was one point where it glitched out, though, and you were, like, talking slow, and then StreamYard decided to, like, catch up all at once, and then you spoke at, like, three times speed for about 10 seconds on high end till it caught up. So, but it's been fine since then.
Okay.
We've talked about like religion and stuff before a little bit. I know you were raised in like a conservative Christian household and then kind of like fell away from it. Was that like a gradual thing? Was there like one thing that led to that? I mean, I don't want to get too personal if that's like, you know, off limits or anything, but I don't know if we ever, I mean, just seems like something that would be interesting to talk about, just sort of your, what led you out of the upbringing you had.
I mean, I guess it was just kind of gradual. I just over time, just kind of like, I just was one of the things I slipped away from. I just wasn't going to church as much. You know, I was, you know, a young adult. I'd say probably around the time, like I left the house, kind of around that time is probably really, and you know, I really just wasn't doing anything, you know, church wise. So I did kind of just, I guess you could say, slip away. But then I also kind of then had a renewed interest and just kind of at one point just was wanting to look into it, reevaluate things I had thought about before. Because I never really looked at it like in a critical way growing up, because a lot of the stuff was just stuff that I just accepted uncritically. You know, same thing with like my politics and stuff. You know, when I was younger, these were things I just never really thought about. So then I just kind of started reevaluating, you know, a lot of things I thought about, and that was one of them that kind of hit a chopping block, and I kind of, I struggled with for probably years, just kind of like thinking about different logical this or that, and I just kind of came to the point where I'm like, I mean, yeah, I definitely went through my like angry Reddit atheist phase, but I kind of went out of it. Now I'm like kind of just at the point where I don't know whether there is or isn't a God, but I don't necessarily believe in one. I mean, I wouldn't be astounded if I found out there was like a supreme deity of some sort, but just there's been nothing that's really led me to believe in one specific take on it or the other.
Yeah.
So like if you were to say like, do you believe in God? I'm like, I don't know. I guess what define what you mean by that? Like, but like if you're saying some vague superpower, maybe, I don't know. I mean, even then I'm kind of like, maybe. And now you want me to get down to nailing down a specific religion's take on it, like, so that's kind of where I am. I don't know. I mean, obviously, as I've mentioned already, I've gotten really into the digging into in the parapolitical world, where I mean, it's hard not to get sucked into it. You know, it's almost like the schizophrenia luring you in the parapolitical world, where you start, you know, learning about the child trafficking networks. You start learning about, oh, wow, look at all these elites that seem to always be linked into them. And you start following those breadcrumbs. And then you start finding about, like, where are all these, like, satanic, or, you know, I guess, it's, and even that's not the greatest, like, word to use for it. Like, you know, all this, like, whatever this other thing is that's going on behind the scenes, that's heinous, awful things. What is this? And so there is something to that where you go, I mean, I can understand how people, some people say, oh, that makes me believe in God more. I'm like, I guess I get that. But, like, I mean, I guess I could say that I believe there are people who believe in some sort of ultimate evil. I can tell you that. I mean, I don't know. Does that mean that ultimate evil exists? I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, like, in a certain sense, like, whether they believe it exists or not, their belief kind of gives it its existence. Like, they're essentially, you know, breathing into this world that evil. So, like, you know, whether there's right. some entity behind it, whether you want to say it's a spirit in the sense of a literal spirit, or just a spirit in, like, an idea or a feeling that takes over someone or something, then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that is one that does kind of make you question reality. Like, what's going on here? Like, this, the level of depravity that we're talking about when you get into those types of things, of what's going on when you start learning about how it seems certain elites may, you know, literally forge their, you know, essentially contracts in the blood of children. You're like, holy crap, what is going on here? Like, you know, there's clearly some sort of religious elements at play, and you're like, maybe there is a devil. I don't know. Or at the very least, there are people who believe in a devil, or there are people who exploit the belief in a devil, or some combination of the two. I don't know. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, you do, once you start understanding these methods, you do realize, like, they do, while it is awful and unthinkable for people like us, you realize the use, like, the pragmatic application of these heinous things and how they could be used to power, essentially a religion of power. Like, that's what Aleister Crowley himself, in my opinion, was kind of describing with his, like, idea of Thelema, is kind of a religion of power. Like, if you break it down, it's a lot of it is, like, kind of speaking the same. It's a lot of his stuff was essentially just an esoteric woo-woo language for the same thing that, like, intelligence agencies will describe to you of, like, how they pull deep events or stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know, the veil between magic and intel or evil and elite, I don't know, it can leave you kind of gasping for air for sanity. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Do you ever, like, because I could almost see arguments for both sides, and I struggle with this myself, when people are like, can you define God for me? And, like, on one hand, I feel like when you, like, the more specific you describe God, obviously that, like, would logically seem to be like, well, now you need more burden of proof. But then it almost seems like you have another problem on the opposite end, where, like, if you generalize, like, oh, God is just, like, you know, the spirit of the universe, or, like, you get, like, real, like, ungrounded, then it's like, well, I don't know, yeah. Like, that's so vague. Like, I mean, it seems like you wouldn't need to really provide any evidence for it if you just yeah. make it so vague. So there's something there where it's like, that's why, like, I mean, I try to stay in my lane. Like, I know I used to try to get more into, like, apologetics, and I know enough to, like, dabble in it, but it's definitely not my it's not my lane, so to speak, because I think it's, well, there's some people who are really good at making those arguments, but on the other hand, it's like there are I think, and we've had talks about this in the past, like, you know, I think back up more on my Daniel 3 on the Daniel 3 podcast, where it's like, I've always felt like if someone hasn't had faith, it's like, I don't know how to argue them into it. Like, I don't know, like, it's like, that seems like it just has to be a personal thing that you would just have to, like, in your own heart. And I think this is what the Bible teaches. It's just like, you just have to, like, come to that on your own. Like, I could provide you even logical arguments for why God might exist, or it might maybe probable that God exists. But, like, unless you can, like, really make it absolute, like, it's not going to be enough to, like, compelling. But I guess you would at least, you know, I think I agree with you that, like, there has to be at least something about how much evil there is in the world that at least leaves you open to the idea of, like, okay, like, yeah, if there's really, like, this weird pernicious evil in the world, like, lend some plausibility to the idea that maybe there's spiritual forces of good and evil at play to some extent, even though that's, again, like, it's not an argument. It's just kind of like an observation
it's just that,
like, of
we
something.
Could, it's just that we could literally live in a completely materialistic world and that still completely comport to reality for those things to be the case, for these elites to act in the same exact way, and therefore even there to be essentially a religion of the elite, a religion of the...
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
You know, the tippy top, the powerful, the religion of power. It may still behoove them to have a belief system that's to some degree some people believe, or some degree some people, you know, behave as though they believe because there's power to be exploited from it. So that's kind of like, I guess, just from a, you know, how it operates, it would make sense for it to exist whether or not there is or isn't a, you know, a higher or lower power. So it is like, I mean, it is one that, like, it's a fun one to wrap your head around, because you're like, you especially once you've looked at the evil they've done, you're like, and how they're purporting to do it to usually some sort of evil entities, you're like, I mean, if there are, like, demons to be called forth, you guys would have called them forth already. So, like, I don't know, maybe there is something to it. Like, yeah.
Well, I guess, I don't know, I have my own biases I have to admit on this. I've always felt like if there isn't good and evil, and it is just materialism, like, I don't know, like, it, you wouldn't expect people to be angels, but it does seem weird that there'd be people that go down those super dark roads to that extent, right? Like, I don't know. I do find it, and this is, like, what's tough, like, I obviously believe Christianity is compatible with libertarianism, but I think one of the tough to swallow pills on my end is that it like, the more I study the Bible, the more I study, like, eschatology and stuff like that, it's like the less I am convinced that a libertarian society is possible. And it's tough, because I don't want to say is the whole, like, well, we could have liberty if people weren't evil, because that's obviously dumb. Like that just lends into the classical libertarian critique of, like, well, if people are evil, don't put evil people in charge of people, right? Like, that's not an argument against libertarianism. It's just kind of more like, I don't have faith that we'll ever be able to effectively correct for the fallen condition of man, where we move society away from some form of statism. I don't know where you land on that, as you've, like, gone down your journey of, you know, reading more libertarianism theory and maturing as a libertarian. It's like, I still believe in it as much as I used to, in terms of, like, the legitimacy of it, the truth of it, the logical consistency of it. I still strongly cling to that. I wouldn't say privately, because I'm saying it publicly, but, like, I don't lead with this, but I do kind of go, like, I don't know, I think the best we can hope for is just to kind of make things a little better. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to have a libertarian society, let alone even, like, a libertarian community. Like, I don't hope that. I'm kind of, like, skeptical of it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, so far as, like, will this, because there is this, like, thing of theory where we're, like, you know, theoretically, you know, a system absent coercion is the most efficient, you know, system. It's the best system, best for everyone. So, you know, theoretically, you know, this should be whatever time presents itself. But there is also, there's another issue. There's the flip side where the werewolf game, you know, where, you know, they've found ways to what like it's a game that people play. I forget how the rules are played, but the idea of the game itself is like you're supposed to, I forget the specifics of it. Essentially the idea is there's one person or two people, I forget, that are supposedly werewolves in this game you play. And then you all close your eyes and you have one person who's a werewolf, and it's kind of like, you know, Duck Duck Goose. You kind of run around. I think you have to pick someone. And you know, essentially throughout, the whole idea is that if you don't know who the person is, like if information is concealed, you're far more, it's like there's a small elite can essentially coerce a much larger group, or could control a much larger group based on information, just from information warfare. The idea that if there's two werewolves, that people don't even know who these werewolves are, and these werewolves are able to work together and share knowledge and keep knowledge from others, they can control a much smaller group. So it is like, I don't know. It's these two competing forces, and I don't really know who wins. I mean, really, at the end of the day, it comes down to just being vigilant. I think really all you can do is do the best for yourself and those around you. So that's kind of, I think, the best thing we can really hope for. But at the end of the day, it really is kind of, when it comes to the theory side of things, I don't know. I mean, I do think we kind of probably will win out overall in the long, long, long run. I mean, focusing in on that too much, I think you kind of miss the point of life. If that's really all you're worried about is like, oh, we're going to get a libertarian. I don't know. Focus on making your own personal life the best it can be. I think you're missing things if you're focusing in too much on that. But I do think history has been a constant, essentially, race between the predator and the producer class. So it is like, I don't know, you know, is the producer class going to just at some point leave them in the dust? I mean, the technological game always seems to make it seem that way. They always find a way to catch up. I mean, I don't know. It is hard. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know. But at the end of the day, like, all we really could do is aim for better. And that's really all we need to worry about. I'm not really too concerned about them being in a perfect anarchist environment. Like, I mean, yeah, don't be a retard. Learn to work within the system and, you know, kind of have a good life. Like, and move towards your values. I mean, if you are someone who purports to, like freedom, you move towards your values, you know, move to New Hampshire, move to more rural area, move to, I mean, you don't even have to. I mean, you could be someone who's like a cyberpunk who likes living in the city or whatever. And but you can, even then, you can interact with the counter economy or do whatever. I mean, you can still move your life towards your values. I don't know. The whole idea that we're going to, you know, have libertarian in our lifetime, I think it's kind of gay, honestly. Like, I think if you're getting too focused on that, you're going to lose. I don't think we're really going to see any sort of perfect anarcho-capitalist stand in our lifetimes, but things might get better, and that's really all we can hope for.
Yeah, I'm definitely optimistic about the better. I just feel like the progress is always so slow that I just, like, wonder, like, if we'll ever get there. I mean, like, because I know people will compare it to, like, the abolition of slavery, which, like, on one hand, I guess we have made a lot of progress on that. On the other hand, like, slavery does still exist. You still have human trafficking. So it's like, although you could say, like, I guess there's a lot less overt slavery in the world than there ever was. Maybe we'll hit a point where, like, maybe, like, we haven't completely just, like, dissolved all statism, but we'll have, like, at least something approximating what looks like a more libertarian-ish legal order. So I don't know. I'm not black pilled. I guess I'm like grayish pilled on, like, I think we can make things better. I just kind of wonder, like, what's the limit on it? Definitely, I agree. Like, in our lifetime, people who are, you know, thinking it's going to be anytime soon is sort of lofty. What do you make of? I don't know how much. I know you don't pay too much attention to the, like, libertarian Twitter infighting. Although you once in a while dive into it, and I know you've hosted Dave on a couple times to get into some of the intra debates, as I've had him on to talk about that too. What do you make of, like, because, like, I feel like you and I are really deep into theory, but there's some libertarians who are, like, so deep into theory that I feel like they have this sort of, like, ideological possession where, like, they view their principles in a way where it's like, they view it as immoral and like a violation of their principles to ever engage in the world in a way that's not, like, perfectly keeping with them, even if it was like, you know, going to result in like a likely net good or improvement. And I don't know where they draw the line. Like obviously, like they, a lot of these people are like anti-political, and like, you know, it becomes like more criticisms of the LP and voting and stuff like that, which I guess I kind of get. If you don't think there's any utility in that, I know you've been pretty skeptical of that stuff. But then it's like, I don't know where you draw the line on that. Where like, I mean, like I know some people, like there's some people out there who I don't know how serious they are. Sometimes they give me glowy energy vibes, where they're just like, don't pay your taxes and don't use or consume anything that was created through the creation of like public, you know, funds, because they're extorting. I'm just like I don't know if you get what I mean. We're like, there comes a point where like you
one
you,
easy simple fix.
It just seems to me like they're like a certain point where like some people like they draw the line in the sand where I'm just like, I don't know how you don't end up in a point of like action paralysis in life where they become with their commitment to their like libertarian purity tests. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I've just seen it like blow up more on Twitter lately, and it's like, I don't even know how to engage with some of the people on it, because it's just like, I know like we've had talks about like Stirner and like how he views principles and philosophy in kind of a different light, which I've always kind of been like, I have my principles that I think are like these are true, they're useful, they're like they're what I want, but like I'm not going to I'm not going to be committed to them to the point of like self-deprecation or harm. It's not, no, my libertarian principles, my Christian principles are a little different. Like, but that's a whole different category of exploration.
I don't particularly have any strong, I don't know. I kind of know what you're getting at, but I just feel like that, honestly, that's like a, I mean, it's just one of those things that, it's not even really worth the bandwidth, if that makes sense. I don't know. I just feel like they've become to such a level of irrelevance. I don't mean that in a mean way. I just mean in the sense of like this discussion that continues to be tried to be brought back up of that, like, hey, we want to talk about it. Really, it's just trying to slap at Dave to try to be like, hey, debate me. And you're like, I don't think he wants to debate you. It's just not, it's not even that, like saying that like these people, I know they always want to, like Liquid Zulu to debate Dave. I'm sure it'd probably be a great debate. I don't know. I just don't think anyone really gives a shit about the border stuff right now. I don't give a shit. So I know most people don't give a shit. So why would he literally waste his time to debate this? It's just, that's just kind of where it's just not being able to read the tea leaves. It's just that no one really, there's not a demand for that discussion right now. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, cool. You can keep like bugging Dave about it, and he's going to keep probably ignoring you and not debating you, and you're just kind of being annoying. That's about it. I mean, I don't really have much of a thought of it. I mean, so far as like, I'm assuming you're kind of getting at people who are like more open bordered or whatever, or I guess some of the people have like critiques of, you know, I guess the LPMC, that, I mean, the kind of critiques that I would probably be like, that's just kind of gay, like kind of where I'm coming from. But I just, it's just not even really worth looking at. I don't know. I have not been interested at all in any of that whatsoever. It's very much like duck off a water's back. Just kind of like, what are they? Are they just bugging Dave about trying to debate? That's about it. I'm just like, there's nothing really. And they bitch about the LPMC and how they go about doing stuff. And that's because I guess they're kind of, it seems to be these people are usually kind of like me and don't really agree with the LPMC much anyways. But it's always for like really gay reasons. And I'm like, oh, well, but you have the gayest reasons for it. I don't know. I just, it's just kind of like a non-issue. I mean, whatever. I mean, cool. I mean, these guys don't like the LPMC. Then like, okay.
Well, I guess it's sort of like, I don't care if people disagree with like an LP strategy or the MC strategy. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you just think like, I don't think it's going to work. It's like, okay, fair enough. Like, I don't know what they're doing right now is going to work.
Yeah.
I hope it does. If it doesn't, then like it doesn't, you know, the cool experiment. I mean, like, I don't think Trump is going to deliver on all of his promises, but hey, if he frees Ross, does a couple other good things, I'll be like, hey, cool. Like, that's like, I'm kind of, I don't know, like a little me, I'm cautiously optimistic to see if maybe Elon and Vivek and then with Doge do anything interesting. It could also just be a giant distraction and not really, you know, it could be the utility of it is so marginal that it doesn't make a difference anyway. So who knows? But there's other people that are like, hey, for even trying to do this, like, you've abandoned your libertarian principles and you're violating the NAP and all that. I'm just like, I don't even...
You mean like voting for Trump in general? Tacit support?
Or even like tacit support, yeah. Like that stuff just seems to me like to be like such a like... That's kind of more what I'm getting at, which does tie into, the Zulu criticisms of Dave, which what was really dumb about that was, like, they brought it up out of nothing. Like, no one's debating immigration right now. And then all of a sudden it was like, Dave is getting attacked by, like, the usual suspects because he talked to someone who shared a potentially anti-Semitic meme. It wasn't a meme that I would have shared, but, like... Dave's reaction with my reaction, I was like, I don't know, like maybe this guy, I think it was like Jake Shield, like maybe he's anti-Semitic. Maybe that meme's anti-Semitic.
I mean,
it's
pretty apt given the context. I mean,
but
you may not like it. Well, it may pull out a strong response from you. But
well, it's like first of all,
literally the
where
idea
is it wrong?
Is the,
it's like point out the error to me. Like maybe it's a meme that's definitely designed to provoke a reaction, right? It's like, okay, but like, where, like, explain to me where it's wrong to suggest that the Israel lobby and Zionists don't have a stranglehold on American, the American government and democracy and foreign policy and all that. And second of all, like, if you're gonna, you know, cry tears over a meme and when Palestinian children and families are being blown to bits.
Frankly, there's no better. I struggle to think of a better representation of Israel and what they're doing. They've done to us. Like, I really struggle to think of a better. Literally, the most over the top anti-Semitic caricature is a literal perfect example of what Israel is in comparison to us as a nation. Like what you think of the most over the top anti-Semitic caricature, that is what they are to the United States. They literally are the they're little Shabbos boy. We do all their evil for them. They're all about, you know, like literally all the greasiest, disgusting, like over the top Jewish stereotypes that people think of. Like that is like really what is going on here. So it's like, I mean, you can be upset about it. You can be like, well, this is an anti-Semitic caricature. You're like, okay, but is it wrong? I mean, I'm not even saying that's inherently because it's a country of Jewish people, but it's like, if that's the, I mean, we all know the caricature that's being portrayed of the, like, the evil Jew. Like, so it's like, Israel is that in this example, like, perfectly.
Well,
I
just,
like, damn near.
What it comes
like,
down
I mean, I might
to,
be able to think of a better, you know, the illustration of it, but it's pretty damn close.
The response is, what, is it all Jewish? You think it's all Jewish people? And I'm like, I'm not saying that. If it, first of all, Dave's a Jewish person. Doesn't apply to him. There's plenty. I'm a Jewish person. It doesn't apply to me. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, and I guess I'm kind of, I don't know. First of all, the whole identity politics is dumb. I don't even know how, like, am I white or Jewish? Someone needs to tell me where I fit into the whole stupid, like, intersectionality map, because I don't know. Just because I like to mess with the forms and government. Anytime I have a government thing and it says to fill out your minority status or whatever, I always identify as other, because one, it's like, like, who are you to tell me what I am if you're going to question it, right? And second,
I'm
going to
start putting,
like,
Jew just so I can get a free liability shield.
I'll vouch for you. Like, he has my I'm Jewish. He has my vote of confidence in his Jewish status, but but just, like, listen, like, if it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to you. Just like if it's like, hey, there are white people who are, imagine if we had, for like, let's just imagine we had a country that was predominantly white, that had in their, like, constitution and charter and, like, ruling political party that's like, we have to maintain our white supremacy in this nation, not ever, because we can't ever have minorities ruling over us. And on top of that, they're committing, like, essentially what amounts to either a genocide or a near genocide of non-whites in a region that they've claimed a, you know, virtual monopoly over and won't let the people leave.
You're making Israel say it sound way cooler than it has any business being.
But, like, if you were to point that out and be, like, you know, like, calling attention to the fact that, like, you know, hey, white people being white national, you know, violent white ethno-nationalists is bad, and then you were just like, it's not all white people. I was like, well, whatever, then it's not all white people. It's like, for the Jews who aren't Zionists, who aren't supporting Israel's, you know, the Zionist agenda and the slaughter of Palestinians and the American industrial, military-industrial complex being a world empire to a large extent to further Israel's interests in the world, then, like, then it doesn't apply to you. Like, but if it does, then, like you pointed out, like, for a lot of Jews, it does. Like, that's just facts. I know it's facts because I have Jewish family who I could say it's facts for, right? Like, they're, like, to them, they're, and not just, like, family and friends who I've had severed relationships with because of my stances, because, like, to them, it's like, yeah, if you disagree with Israel, it's just disagreeing that, like, hey, I don't think that the state of Israel should exist, or if it does exist, it shouldn't be an exclusivist Jewish ethnostate committing, you know, genocide against the Palestinians. That's to them, that alone is anti-Semitic. So it's like, all right, well, you've shown me what your priorities are.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, for sure. Yeah. I guess you're one of the good Jews. Well,
I'll put that in my bio. On Twitter. Yeah. One of the good Jews.
Yeah. We gotta have at least a few of them. And we got Rothbard, like, at the end, we got Dave, we got you. That's about it, really. That's the end of them, I think.
Oh, boy. That's a weird note to end on, but hey, no, it's like, listen, man, I appreciate you hopping on. I love what you're doing over on your show. You've had a lot of success. I've been very, very happy to see you have, and I hope that you continue to have it. If you want to tell people, on my end, my audience's side, in case they don't know, where they can find you before we hop off.
I do want to apologize once again for the bad reception. Next time I will move my router. But yeah, I have the No Way Jose podcast. You can find me on YouTube, all the major odd podcatchers, Rumble as well. Lately, I've been doing probably, you know, at least a few days a week, been doing morning streams. I've been calling them the Morning Dump. So those are live streams. You can pop in for that. Just keep an eye out on YouTube and Rumble. I also have on Tuesdays at 9:30, I do the 9:30 p.m. Eastern. I do Already Dead, which is a live show, live call-in show that I do with my co-host Austin Picard. And I also have a normal, you know, the topic-related No Way Jose episode that I do every week. Yeah, that's over on YouTube, Rumble, all major audio podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. If you want to support me, patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. Go check out my podcast. The thing probably most people know me for is my OKC stuff, so that's probably a good place for you to start. I appreciate you having me on, Jacob. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you. Yeah, everyone go support. I mean, I asked for support earlier, but go support Jose's show too. Jose's like one of two people, you know, in the podcast world who I have for the most part financially supported, sponsor on his show. So appreciate what you do, man. Thanks for coming on and just, you know, talking about random stuff for an hour. It's always a blast. Hope you guys enjoyed this. I'll be back tomorrow night with Adam Nutter. I mean, unfortunately, I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel to find quality people to talk to there, but no, I'm just kidding. I love Adam. We're going to have an hour of trash talking each other, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Let me know what you think about this this format. If you want more of this or not, I probably won't keep it under the Daniel 3 thing after I get to episode 100, but who knows? I'm free to do whatever I want. I'll free to change my mind at any point, reserve that right. But yeah, so this was episode 94. I'll have Adam one for 95, and so there'll be at least another five after that then, till we get back to 100. If you want to find me at Biblical Anarchy, or go to biblicalanarchypodcast.com, and that's all I have for you guys for tonight. So talk to you again tomorrow.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.